pop-titty-pop-titty-pop-titty-pop goes a motorcycle. Pop-titty-pop-titty-pop-titty-pop goes a motorcycle. Pop-titty-pop-titty-pop-titty-pop goes a motorcycle. Pop-titty-pop-titty-pop-titty-pop goes a motorcycle. Hitting on one, hitting on two, hitting on three. Pop-a-titty-pop-a-titty-pop-a-titty-pop-a-titty-pop-a-titty-pop-a-titty-pop goes a motorcycle. Hit that jive jack, put it in your pocket till I get back. Going downtown to see a man, ain't got no time to shake your head. Hit that jive jack, put it in your pocket till I get back. Going downtown to see a man, ain't got no time. Standing on the corner, I'm all full of jive, pleading and begging with you, mama. All I wanted was five. Hit that jive, jack. I put it in your pocket till I get back. Going downtown to see your man. Ain't got no time to shake your hand. Laughing in rhythm. Laughing with rhythm, stick your finger in your eye, and you get crazy. Stick your finger in your nose, and you'll go home free. Laughing in rhythm,
stunning.
That's it.
Meaningless.
Gotta love it. Hey, it's Hot and Cold Saturday morning. Laughing in rhythm. That's what we do. Is that what we do around? I think that's what we do around here. Well, if you're out traveling about, it's a couple minutes after eight. Keep an eye on the roads. Black ice is just about everywhere. And it's a little slippery. It's coming into the driveway here at the big radio broadcast complex. There was a whole bunch of stuff at the edge of the driveway that from plowing. Everything had melted, but it is a nice pile of ice just to come over into the driveway to pack the car. All right, that's okay. I flattened it out as best I can. I could hear it just ripping at the bottom of my car, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm okay. I'm not upset. Not at all. Oh, my. Big Adventures, Thanksgiving Day. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and everything went well. And Thanksgiving Day, I had a plan. I'm not sure why it happened, but it did. And that was that I would hook up an outdoor reset thermostat. So, you know, let's pick a holiday. Well, this is the more benign holiday to work on the heating system. I wasn't doing any plumbing. I was doing wiring. And I thought, you know what? Let me see if I can get the outdoor reset thermostat to work. Now, I have bookmarked one. I got this 3 years ago. And I never was happy with the way it worked. And it was the first year we were there. I had four convectors to heat the house upstairs. Convector is a thing with a heating device, if you will, heat distribution device. It's got like a fan coil, like a radiator inside of it, and a fan behind it. It blows warm air. And I use the convectors because they're reversible. I could use it for heating or cooling if I had a heat pump hooked up to it, which was sort of in the plan still. And there were only four. There weren't a lot of room, not a lot of room, big open concept house. But I came across a deal on some radiant panels the next year. And I put in one, two, three, four radiant panels to even out the heat in the house a little bit. And a radiant panel is kind of like an old-fashioned radiator, except it's made out of steel instead of iron. And it's a panel, and it radiates heat. Radiators radiate heat, too, but a little different animal. Similar, but not quite the same. And so now I had more heat distribution through the whole house. Now, the first year, with the convectors, with the outdoor reset control, it didn't work well. And what an outdoor reset control does is it modulates or moderates the temperature going to your heat distribution system based on outside temperature. So as it gets colder outside, the water going through the system gets hotter. And as it gets warmer outside, it cools the water, it runs the water cooler. And the idea is that it matches up perfectly. And instead of having, if you have a hot water baseboard system in your house, you know, many people do. Thermostats on and off, on and off, on and off. You know, calls for heat, shuts down. Well, there's a high point and a low point. And it isn't necessarily the most even heat in the world. So an outdoor reset would allow you, or me in this case, to run all my circulators all the time. And instead of the baseboard or convector or radiant panel being, say, 130 degrees, it might be 90 degrees. And it's on all the time. It's always radiating a little bit of heat. So there's no hot and cold spots in the house. That's the theory. The reality, when I tried it with just the convectors, was miserable. It didn't work well. But I figured with radiant panels, it might work better. And the convectors are there to just add a little bit of extra heat. The convectors now functioning a little bit differently. The fans are not running, but they're still convecting. If the insides are warm, air will convect up through, hot air rising up through. Not a lot of heat output, but enough to even out those spots where those units are. So I hooked it up. I found all, it had gotten thrown on a shelf in the electrical department of my basement, and I found all the bits, and I had the directions with it, and the directions were daunting. They're very confusing. They're not from a foreign country. They're from the U.S., but they were, this was an old, I picked up this thing on eBay for $30. It was brand new in the original box, and it kind of works okay. You know, everybody interprets a device like this, which has some complexity to it. Everybody might do it a little differently. And I actually bookmarked one that's for sale currently that's new, made by Taco, the pump company. They make pump relays and stuff like that. And they make an outdoor reset. It's $100. And I had it marked, I still have it bookmarked on my eBay thing, $100. And I said, well, I don't know if I need it. So I said, well, wait a minute. I've got this thing on the shelf. Let's pull it out. Let's see if we can make it work. So first step was it runs on 24 volts AC, as most heating controls do. And I had taken out, I had a little transformer that made 24 volts AC. I had to go find it in my shop. Excuse me. By some Thanksgiving Day miracle, I found it in the shop. I bring that back and hook it up. And I get the thing wired. I got power to the thing. And then I set it up. And there's two sensors. There's an outdoor sensor, temperature sensor, and an indoor temperature sensor. The indoor temperature sensor is taped on to the pipe that feeds all the different zones, different heaters. Piece of insulation over it to make it register a little bit more accurately. Hooked it up and did some testing, and it seemed to work. So I have to take a break. And this is what we do to you, okay? This is what you do on radio. You knew that. I'm going to give you the hook. And now, yeah, right. And now you just have to come back, don't you? Sure you do. Yeah. It's Hot and Cold Saturday morning, 8:15. I'm Tom. We'll be right back.
A pumpkin head, it's shining so your nose won't freeze. All the world is your snowball, see how it grows, and that's how it goes whenever it snows.
The world is your snowball just for a song, so get out and to push it along.
Yeah,
it's a yum, yummy world made for sweethearts. You take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a sugar cake, what a spring is late. In winter, it's a marshmallow world. It's a marshmallow world.
All right, we're back. It's 8:18. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Dino and Francis right there on the TV. I tell you what, that was good. That was good stuff. That was different. Anyway, so and back to the Thanksgiving Day saga. It's not an Alice's Restaurant type saga, but it'll do, I guess, in the overall scheme of things. So I've got... circulators. Now, these are little DC circulators. They're really small. They don't draw much energy. And I originally had them set up to operate on their own thermostatic control. And I wasn't happy with the way they were working. And the convectors have a thermostatic control that our brothers in China made that just drives me crazy. It clicks on and off, and it has what it calls hysteresis. It's going to make you hysterical. It just goes on and off and when it reaches a set point. And it just, no. Okay. So I've got all seven circulators wired in parallel. They run on 12 volts, hardly use any energy. I can run them 24/7 because they don't use much energy. And that evens out the temperature in the house because everything is tempered and that is warm. Tepid would be the term. And it will get warmer as it gets colder and it'll cool down, as I say. Hooked it up. Tweaked the controls, which I admit are tricky. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 different things to tweak. But I got it working. And I go upstairs, and you know, where I sit, watch TV, or use the computer, there's a radiant panel right next to me. And I could feel when the heat's not running, it can feel a little bit cool. There's a window there. I mean, you know, the house is insulated. It's insulated reasonably well. I wasn't happy with it. So I go upstairs. I'm okay, now the test. Here's the big test, okay? I go sit in my chair and watch TV. And okay, now I need to sense temperature. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I think this is working. Now, having had the experience 2 years prior where it just didn't work right, and it drove me, the controls drove me crazy. So I really wasn't using it the way, in the most appropriate way with the convectors I had. I'm like, it feels kind of okay in here. So I go in. Now, the test facility has is the whole house. And I'm in there, and I'm like, okay, this is okay. But I'm the guy who hooked it up. And what's more subjective than the person who does something thinking, well, it's brilliant. You did it. It works perfect. No, that's not the test. The test is I go into the next room where Mrs. Gosi is, my test subject. And I said, what do you think? And she says, okay. She didn't exactly say okay, but I think it's okay. It was a positive that I accepted as a positive. Or maybe it was marginal, but I accepted it as positive. So we were out for a little while, come home. House is still comfortable. Like, man, you know, hey, every so often I step in the right stuff. And it works. So the evening goes on, everything's okay. Get up in the morning, got up yesterday morning, everything's okay. Went to work. In the meantime, I hooked up something called a bypass. Not really reading the directions of the bypass because, hey, I just got this thing hooked up and it works, baby. Okay. Well, the bypass, and I didn't read the directions. Bypass is set up so the system will make hot water. If it has a boiler, say, that wants to make hot water, it bypasses all these controls, turns on the thing, makes hot water. I read that to mean that if I hook it up to a room thermostat, because it's not keeping up, the system will go back to just being like a regular system, on, off, real hot temperatures, bring up the house temperature. Well, that's not quite what it does. I've got four convectors. They all have thermostats in them. I got a room thermostat. If any of those points call for heat, it goes into bypass mode. Okay, I wired everything in parallel. It's just anyone is just going to bring the house up in temperature. I'm not there all day. You know, my wife. I don't want my wife to freeze. It's not Dr. Zhivago. I come home, and it's like Dr. Zhivago. The house is cool. One of the convectors is trying to run, blowing cold air. What's going on? I go downstairs and I had to get the multimeter out, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Did I burn out some circulator pumps in my brilliant idea of running these things? Turns out the bypass disables the circulators that move heat into the system. The pumps that run to all the heating appliances are working. But the pumps, there's two pumps that operate from the boiler injecting heat into the system. It disables those. It took me a little while. Fortunately, I over the past 2 days, I've had moments of lucidity. I'm not sure why, how that happened. Maybe it's extra coffee. I don't know. I just don't know. But it was, I figured it out and changed it all, undid the bypass, and we're back in business, I think. So, and if you turn up the heat now because the house is cool, it'll drive you out of there. So we'll see. I'm going to be gone for what? So I leave the house at 5 a.m. I'm back around 11. 6 hours. It's a 6-hour test to see if I'm freezing out. Mrs. Gosi. It reminded me of Dr. Zhivago when I got home. I'm just thinking about that time in the movie. He comes home and there's no heat and he goes out and steals firewood. I do have firewood if I needed to use it, but I didn't. And it seems to be working. So I saved myself $100 and I will report back. Now, there was a sidebar benefit that really tickled my fancy on Thanksgiving Day. The unit I'm using as a boiler, and I apologize for going on way too long about this, but it's just kind of fun for me. The I'm using a Toyotomi oil-fired water heater to heat the house. And Toyotomi makes oil-fired devices for domestic hot water, and they also make boilers. And they're all known for short cycling. In other words, they turn on and off a lot, which is okay. They're made to function that way. It drives me crazy when they go on and off a lot. That doesn't happen with this system the way I have it set up. It comes on, and I Thanksgiving Day, I'm there with my phone clocking the time. Comes on, it was coming on for about 1 to 2 minutes steady, whereas before it could come on for 30 seconds and shut off. It was running about 2 minutes, and then would be off for 42 minute cycle, 2 minutes on, 40 minutes off. So, of course, I've got a half gallon, and I could do the arithmetic and figure out the amount of energy I'm running, and very happy with that. So we'll see. I will. Unfortunately, you're going to have to hear about this again, probably, but it seems to be working, and nobody they don't make this device anymore. I think the Teco one is similar, so we'll see. Anyway, and I forgot to give the phone number, 1-800-966-1039, text line 601-207-4478. So, another thing, for Thanksgiving Day, or actually it was yesterday I saw it. Have you seen the pictures of Notre Dame Cathedral? Now, if I walk into Notre Dame Cathedral, I'd probably burst into flames. But as a lapsed Catholic, or a member of the human race, that place, it absolutely stunning. I had to stop and look. There's a gallery, you know, there's galleries of photos online. It'll be open next week, I guess, to the public. And one of the things they did in restoring Notre Dame was they cleaned it. Now, if you go into a old church like this or old cathedral, you've got hundreds of years of candles burning, little wooden sticks you use to light the candles if you've ever done that, and all that soot accumulates. The place sparkles. It's absolutely stunning. If you haven't looked at it, take a look at it during the break, because the break's right now. And I think you will be impressed. It is a world treasure. And to see it in such condition is nothing more than stunning. So anyway, that's a little arts tidbit on hot and cold. Speaking of art, we need banjo music. We'll be back. It's 8:30 straight up.
To hear me say we'll be too-
right, we're back into your life right now, 8:35 on Hot and Cold. Just want to tell you about our friends at General Appliance over in Brewer on Center Street, open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, check them out. 989-4341 is the magic number, 989-4341. They can help you keep your appliances going, save you money. Oh, my goodness. That's just a wonderful thing right there. Just in time for the holiday season, too. So I've got a big project coming up this week. I picked up, actually, my friend Nat, found me a forklift. Since we got the driveway paved, our need for a forklift is very intermittent, not usually urgent, but when you need one, you need one. And my friend Nat found one and sold it to me instead of keeping it. He didn't even have it. He told me about it. He knew I was looking for one. He said, "What?" And he has one that actually I sold him years long inbred group of people. But so anyway, I wound up getting this forklift, and it's a Caterpillar forklift. It's got a Mitsubishi engine in it with a blown head gasket, which was a typical thing for, I guess, Mitsubishi engines. So he said, I can help you. Nat's a machinist. And Bradshaw Machinery in Searsport. Brilliant guy. Does great work. Down to earth, we just hit it off right away. A similar skewed sense of reality, I guess. Anyway, we got to do the head gasket. It's got a timing belt. And I'm going to attack it next week. I'm going to get started. I ordered the parts this week for the Mitsubishi engine that's in it, which was in a lot of different cars. Actually, the Mitsubishi engine that's in it is actually, other than being in Mitsubishi's, is in some Hyundai's, which is interesting. But anyway, I've ordered a head gasket, new head bolts, timing belt, a gasket set, a water pump, tensioners, of course, and we'll see. And the beauty of it, I think, there's a big cover over the engine that the seat is on. If you take that off, you have an opening that's almost, 3.5 feet by 3.5 feet, very accessible. Not like working under the hood, I don't think. We'll find out. It is a propane forklift, so a little different. But the, we'll see what has to come apart and what can stay together. And it will be an interesting process. I have not done a head gasket in about 40 years. Actually, more than 40 years. Oh, my God. But head gasket's a head gasket. And I have I have at least two mechanics I can call who might come help me. Actually, probably three, if I count Jimmy. And all these guys know what they're doing, where I don't remember what I'm doing anymore, but we'll see. I watched videos of that specific engine. It's pretty straightforward. So we'll see. And I got Nat, too. So, what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? it'll be an interesting project. The biggest problem, I'm not so worried about the technical end of things because I've got all that backup. The biggest issue is, I got the shop straightened out. I've got tables to lay out all the parts. And usually when I do a project like this, and it's something I don't do every day, I will put down like a big piece of cardboard on the table or a bench. And as I take things apart, I label everything so I know where it goes. And that makes a lot of sense. And so I've got all that prep work done. I might have to use the forklift in the next couple days. I've got a big part coming in. I probably won't need it, but I'm not going to start till after that's done. And then I'll dig in. But the biggest problem isn't the technical end of things so much. It's the physical end of things. And I mean my physical end of things. I find that when I do engine work, because I do engine work, I avoid it if I can, but I will do it, give me 10, 15 minutes leaning over the side of a fender of a car or something, and then I go to stand up and I'm Groucho Marx. I'm bent over, and it takes a while to get everything back into place. So it's the joy of aging. Speaking of which, other car-related stuff, my daughter Maria had said, you know, I got a misfire in cylinder 1 and 3. And she's running a Prius that's similar to mine. It doesn't have as high of miles. I'll say she's around 350 on it. The odometer stops at 299,999 for that particular year, which I think was an 05, maybe, 06. And it doesn't go any further. Mine's an 07, and it continues to go, which, by the way, I did turn over 475,000 miles last week and still going. And so I said, okay. I pulled the plug just to see what's going on. And it had a electrode was messed up. It was actually a piece missing. It didn't look great. So let's get a set of plugs. So I got a set of plugs. I could change plugs. That's nothing. And did 1, 2, 3. I get to cylinder 4. Oh, each plug had indications of rust on the metal part nearest the engine block. Water apparently had gotten in at some point around the thing, around the, there's a well in Priuses. A lot of the Toyota engines are the same. There's a well, and it can hold some water. So I get this, I got them all out, got them changed. I get to cylinder 4, and I put the socket down in, and I'm turning, and nothing's happening. And I realize I'm not making contact with the plug. It's not going in around the, you know, the hex head. So usually if you're just changing plugs on that particular car, you just have an extension with the plug socket. I tape them together because they'll pull apart on me otherwise. So I got it taped together, and it ain't working. And you don't have to take anything apart other than take the coils off the plugs. Each plug has its own coil. So they ain't working. Okay. So now I got to take all the windshield wiper stuff out of the way so I can get in straight overhead. And I actually had to get a socket, a standard socket, and hammer it gently down over the plug to see if I can make contact. What had happened is it was so rusty, and I know they've been changed in the past couple of years, and I know they don't have anywhere near, say, 100,000 miles or 50,000 miles even. But I got it out, and it was rusty. I checked down in the well, and everything was okay. Put it back together. Car runs fine. So it was an interesting project. That's the first time I've ever run into that, and I'm sure it's not uncommon, but it was wasn't quite fun, but it wasn't horrible. I've dealt with worse things than that, that's for sure. Let's go over to the phones at 1-800-966-1039. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hi, Tom. It's Dave.
Hi.
From Bradley.
Hey.
Hey, I got the 2000. You said you got a 2007 you were working on?
It was, it was a 6 or a 7, something like that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, my 2007 seems to always want to start the engine and run. I'll back it up a little bit, and as soon as I put it in drive, the batteries could be all the way full, and it just wants to start the gasoline engine. Is that characteristic of those, or why won't it run on battery for a while before it starts to pick up?
It depends. If you just start the car up, it's going to certainly be in a warm-up cycle for several minutes. If you have the heater on, it's going to stay on. Or if you have the AC on, excuse me, it will keep the gas engine running.
No, I usually have them off when I start the vehicle. I don't turn them on until I get going.
When you're starting, though, everything's going to run. The gas engine will stay on for a while. After its car is warmed up, after, say, 5 minutes, If you don't have those things on, it should cycle on and off. The other thing is that on that particular car, if you hit the throttle hard, it's going to run the gas engine. Battery charges up, so that's not the issue. And if you go over a certain speed, and I think that speed is about 30, 35 miles per hour, any speed over that, the gas engine is going to run on that car. The newer cars,
well,
it won't.
I can live with all that, but it seems to, I'm thinking even after it warms up, you know, I'm really careful on the accelerator, and it just doesn't seem to run in electric mode as much as I would expect it to.
Yeah. What's your gas mileage?
46.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about it.
No? Okay.
No. There's nothing bad happening.
Newer versions run more?
I think they run more on electric, especially when you get into the ones with lithium batteries. They will cycle on and off a lot. And, it's by that I mean probably 14 and newer. You start to see the difference. And you know, on your car and my car, if the hybrid system goes down for some reason and you're lucky enough that the gas engine is still running, it's very anemic. It has no power. It will run, takes forever to get up to speed. The newer cars, and that would be 10 and newer, have bigger gas engines and run slightly differently. And those is hard to determine that the hybrid system has gone into limp mode because the gas engine is bigger. And as Toyota keeps making newer cars, as the cars get newer, the gas engines get bigger. But also the electric side of things gets more effective. So it's interesting to, I've had some that have, I had one, I think it was like a 13 or something, and the hybrid system had shut down, and I couldn't tell. On your car, my car, hybrid system shuts down, I'm doing a lot of sputtering because it's really hard to drive. It drives okay, but you're just like, oh my God, I'm going to cause an accident. I'm going so slow, and God forbid you're going up a hill when it happens. But the newer ones don't have that issue as and of course as they get when we have, you know, a couple of primes right now, and the primes are just, you know, totally different creatures, basically the same car, but just so much improved because Toyota just keeps improving them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, when my hybrid system went down, when my battery system went down, it didn't run at all.
And sometimes that happens. Yeah. And I couldn't tell you why, but it does happen where it'll shut down and the car will still run. Doesn't necessarily run very good, but you have the, if you have that luxury, it's a great thing. It doesn't always happen though.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy with it. Just always looking for ways to coax a little more mileage up.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. All right, Dave.
All right. Thanks.
Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Let's see. A couple of curious poll listeners for snowfall accumulations. Two inches of slush in Willimantic, 12 inches heavy snow in Monson, 9 miles away. 12 inches of Sangerville, 6 in Dexter. Well, you just did it. I don't have to poll it. Yeah, it was in the paper, too. Up north, you guys got hit pretty good. I wasn't expecting snow. We were out, as I said, on Thursday, and it was raining. It was about 3 in the afternoon, and I could see as the rain hit the windshield, it looked like there was a little bit of snow in there. It was like 39 degrees, 37 on ground level. And a couple hours later, I saw a lot of the postings for accidents, and there were a lot of them, a lot of folks off the road. Let's see. I can't find a place in the Bangor-Ellsworth area where I could put air in my tires for quarters, not credit cards. Any suggestions? No. My frustration is that if you do go someplace where you can get air, a lot of times it isn't working. And so I usually have a plug-in air compressor in the car with me. plugs into the cigarette lighter. And they're $20, $30, $40, depends what kind you get. It's worth having just in case you need it. I mean, there's nothing worse than being in your driveway and you've got a tire that's flat and you don't have any way to fill it. You have to call AAA or somebody to come do it for you. So we have multiple air compressors. I think every one of us has a little 12-volt one in our cars. Also, we have I have a compressor in the shop for, you know, filling up tires quickly. But I also have we have three Ryobi cordless air compressors that we use. We have two that are handheld. You have to stand there, squeeze the trigger, and fill the tire. But we have one that you hook it up to the tire, you set the pressure, and walk away. And we use them all. But of course, we have a lot of tires. Man, we have a lot of tires. You know, it's funny. I get to deal with 20 or 30 cars at a time that have issues. And trying to chase down all the issues can be crazy. And then, excuse me, somebody will walk. I'll be in the shop doing something, minding my own business. I'm just trying to get through without any interruptions. Somebody comes in and says, hey, that whatever is doing whatever. And then I got to go completely change direction and either call a mechanic or fix it or whatever. But that's the life I've chosen, I guess. I don't know. I got a question. Here's a poll question. Text line is 601-207-4478. Text me on this. United States Postal Service, wonderful people doing a hard job. What's your postal service like? I ask this question not because of the local folks I deal with, who are our friends and neighbors, and I have a lot of respect for them. They have a tough job. But I ordered a package of 10 bolts for a banjo that I was working on a couple weeks ago. And it just lingered, and I could track it. And it was shipped out of Michigan. And it arrived, it was supposed to arrive last Friday. It arrived yesterday, a whole week late. It took up residence for quite a while in Detroit. Maybe they needed hardware, and then you know they put them back in the package. So I don't know. What's going on with the Postal Service? I thought the Postal Service was supposed to get better. The guy who was postmaster was made postmaster back in the first Trump administration. And I don't know. What's going on? Hire more people? I don't know what you do. The machine... With things so automated, you would think that when you got into any distribution center, and we, the in-house thing that we discuss regularly is if you find it winds up in Southern Maine, you're basically screwed. Or if it winds up in Springfield, Mass, you're screwed. And it's going to be stuck there for a while. And I see it every time. I track everything I purchase online. I track to see where it is, and if I see it land in any distribution center, I know I'm doomed. Let's see. A couple of messages here. Had a leaky tire once. I used a bike pump. That would work. Not necessarily as quickly, but Doc's Place out by Bangor Walmart and Elite Auto on Hammond Street both have free air. That's good to know. Thank you for that. And what else? And the person who's looking for the air, you know, for what they cost, a portable air compressor that's in the car, the problem goes away. I make sure all my kids have one. So if I can impart any wisdom, I got to do this. Let's hit that there, and we'll be back in a little bit.
I have heard among this clan, you are called a forgotten man.
Is that what they're saying?
Well, did you ever?
What a swell party this is.
And have you heard the story of a boy, a girl, unrequited love?
Sounds like pure soap opera.
I may cry.
Tune in tomorrow. What a swell party this is. What frails, what frocks.
What broads.
What furs, what rocks.
They're beautiful.
Why, I've never seen such gaiety.
Neither did I.
It's all just too exquis, really.
This French champagne.
Domestic.
So good for the brain. That's what I was going to say.
You know, you're a brilliant fellow.
Thank you.
Drink up, Jack. Please don't eat that glass, my friend. Have you heard about dear Blanche? Got run down by an avalanche.
No.
Don't worry, she's a game girl, you know. Got up and finished fourth.
This kid's got guts.
Having a nice time? Grab a line.
Have you heard that Mimsy star?
Oh, what now?
She got pinched in the Astor.
We're back. It's 9:06. It is hot and cold Saturday morning. The phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. Just want to mention this. Okay? These are kids, okay? And I just wanted to remind you, if you're bored, I mean, the holiday's over, but you've got more holiday stuff coming. You're sitting around, you're bored, you got nothing to do. Get on the YouTube. Essentially Ellington. This is Essentially Ellington 2024. Every year they do this. And they have a competition with high schools with, oh God, would I call it an enhanced jazz music curriculum? I'm not sure what I would call it, except it's good. It's really good. And I think Duke Ellington would, and his guys and ladies would be impressed. Good stuff. Anyway, our phone number again, 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. A whole bunch of messages have come in. I'm in Bethlehem, PA. Our service is outstanding. FedEx, UPS, much faster if you have the option. Well, maybe it's just because we're at the end of the world. We're at the end of the country. You can't go any further. You're in Canada. You go any further. Let's see. I believe the problem with the Postal Service is they still accept handwritten letters or packages. Go in my store and everything is barcoded or has a SKU. Well, yeah. Maybe, but then again, I don't know. Does that make a difference? It seems to me scanning machines read. What's written, obviously some stuff gets kicked out. Everything I get is printed. It's no handwritten anything on labels. You know, I'm buying from professionals. I don't get it. I wish I did. And I hope it gets better. That's my Christmas hope and prayer. Postal Service gets better, I'm happy. It isn't asking for too much, is it? Let's see. Kind of lost my. I had a place I was going. Where the heck was? Where was? No, that's not it. All right. Other projects I've been working on. I had a chair. My wife wanted me to refinish, It had a some kind of finish on it, a varnish finish or something, and it would, didn't look too good. So at some point she had one of our kids paint it, and she wanted me to paint it again. And I said, you know, the paint that's on there looks awful. I'd rather get the paint off and refinish it. So last weekend, I got a can of paint remover, set up down to the basement, and got the paint off, got the finish off, and then I put stain on it, and I put too much stain on it, and it's not curing. So today, Mr. Fix-It here is going to go down and remove this, at least wipe down the stain with some acetone to thin it out so it can dry properly. I just get carried, you know, just get carried away when I do that stuff. I don't know what's wrong with me. I guess I want it. I just want it done. And, you know, the thickness plays a big role when it comes to doing finishes. You guys knew that. I didn't have to tell you that. Let's see. I'd like to build a 24 by 24 addition on a ranch that has full foundation. Can I put this addition on a slab on grade with a couple of rows of block? Or should I just put extra money in a frost wall? I think you can do it. A couple things. I, if you're doing a slab and it's adjacent to a basement, the ground prep is critical. And by that I mean well-compacted soils. Drainage should be okay. I've been in scenarios where I've seen people not doing their proper groundwork, and you pay big time in the end if it's not done right. You're going to have a lot of issues. But I think I don't see any major issue there. Insulate the slab, obviously. If you're doing a slab at this point, depending on what your heating system is, you may consider putting radiant heat in the slab. It's not that expensive to do. It can be a DIY project if you're so inclined. If not, I would get some quotes. Depends what part of the state you're in, too, because some parts of the state, and by that I mean probably the first congressional district, the southern part of Maine, prices are just out of sight because there's such an influx coming in from the south. And by that I mean southern New England, not necessarily Alabama or something like that. And prices are going cuckoo down there. They're not great up here, but they really can be out of sight. So you may have to shop a little bit to get a reasonable quote for if you want to do radiant heat. But, yeah, there's no big reason not to do it. You're going to have to insulate it properly because it's a slab. But this is not rocket science 2024. This is proven technology. So, I've had fun all week with 12-volt batteries. We're in the season, starting to get a little bit cooler, 29 degrees in Bangor right now. And yeah, it's not Arctic by any stretch, but it's colder. And things start to, if there's a battery, 12-volt battery in a car, that's marginal, it's going to say, you know what, it's time to get replaced. And that has happened to me, I can't tell you how many times this week, not necessarily even on cars that I'm selling, just cars that I have that we're dealing with. But if we have a car, say, I don't know, we've got 10 cars out there right now. We did get to move everything the other day for the snow, which, by the way, having a paved driveway and plowing a paved driveway is like butter. But you knew that, as opposed to paving potholes. Everything started fine. But earlier in the week, we had a couple things that kind of were giving us grief, and it was not a fun day. That's where, if you have any inclination about wanting to deal with your own car maintenance, and I don't mean, you know, necessarily doing a head gasket or changing a transmission, but more simple things, I guess three things you should have. One is the air compressor we talked about. A portable air compressor is a godsend when you get out and it's 5 degrees out and the cold weather made something leak, a valve stem leak or whatever. It's a godsend to have that, so you can get the car going and get it serviced if it needs, if you picked up a nail or a screw or something. The other one is a voltmeter or a multimeter, and they're dirt cheap. You can go to Harbor Freight or Walmart. I'm not sure about Walmart, but I know Harbor Freight's got them cheap. Probably Walmart does too. And I'm talking 20, 30 bucks. And if you're inclined, the thing that it is great for is if you have a battery in your car and you're questioning if it's okay, you can take the voltmeter, put it on DC voltage, put the terminals on the, or the probes on the terminals of the battery without starting the car first thing in the morning and see what the voltage is. If it's below, say, 12.3, it's probably getting time. You got to replace the battery. And number three would be a scan tool. Scan tool is a godsend in 2024 for anybody with an automobile. And you don't even have to know what's going on. You don't have to necessarily interpret what the scan tool tells you. But having those codes, you can get online and you can Google the code. If you don't know what it is, if you put in the code, say it's a PO420 and it's a Prius, or it's a Chevy Malibu, the code is the same for either. It's your catalytic converter. And that's fantastic to know, because if you don't, it gives you a leg up in figuring out what you're going to do with your car. And I'll tell you what we're going to do with my car here is if the music is queuing up, it's not queuing up. Come on. What the heck? All right, we'll go there. You know what? I have multiple musics. I got the musics queued up for you. I do. It is hot and cold, though, Saturday morning at 9:16. We got to take a quick break.
Woke up this morning feeling fine. There's something special on my mind. Last night I met a new girl in the neighborhood. Whoa, yeah. Something tells me I'm into something good.
Uncle Jeff played the fiddle in his Colorado home, and I backed him on a band, so it didn't play alone. We got five generations of a fiddle playing, and it's nice to hear a fiddle by a fiddle playing man. Here's another song for Uncle Jeff. Got a prayer written on the road by the light of the moon. Somewhere up in Michigan, thinking about fiddle, and I hope that I can get back up to Colorado soon. Daddy had a fiddle, and later on the sun, saying, son, play the fiddle like your fiddling folks done. Hard to learn to fiddle when you're fiddling on the run. Fiddling is fiddling, fiddling is fun. Here's another song for Uncle Jeff. Got a prayer written on the road by the light of the moon. Thinking about fiddling somewhere up in Michigan. I hope that I can get back up to Colorado soon.
All right, we're back, 9:20, hot and cold Saturday morning, 30 degrees in Bangor, warming right up, just like springtime. And we got about 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks,
right,
to the winter solstice, which means the days start getting longer. Seems like we just started getting the days shorter, and it's almost over. How about that? Life goes on at light speed. And, God, I am looking forward to the winter solstice. I don't care about the festivities, the druids with the trees, any of that stuff. All good fun. I just want the days longer. And it's coming. Won't be long. So we shall see. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. If you're north of Bangor, or any place rural, if you will, where there's not a lot of traffic, keep an eye on the roads. A lot of black ice out there this morning. Let's see. I can't read that one. That was a good one, though, from the 410 person. Thank you. Area code 401. That was a good one. And I'm going to hit the tune machine one more time, because when the CCR hits on Saturday morning, that means that your list of grievances is about ready to be read.
Just got home from Illinois.
And he's not in Illinois. He's in Stockton Springs, Maine. And that's Pete. Good morning, Pete.
I don't have a list of grievances today. I want to keep it lighthearted and talk about prison reform.
Okay.
I got a lot of ideas for prison reform, and they're all good.
God. Okay.
They're good for everybody involved.
Hey, Pete, got a question before you start.
Yeah.
What exactly drove the fact that I was having you on the radio with me ever since?
It's been so long, I don't remember.
I don't either. It's all blur now, man. All right.
We'll just skip ahead and say, if you heard my ideas for prison reform, listening public, you would agree with me on yet another matter.
Well, go ahead. Lay them on us just because, you know.
Believe me, it's way too heavy.
Okay. All right. Good.
So,
all right. I feel blessed.
Have you ever heard of Thomas Midgley?
No.
Thomas, I might be getting the wrong name wrong. It might be Pidgley or Fidgley or Didgley. But Thomas Midgley, we're going to go with that one, invented putting ethyl in the gasoline.
Okay.
Which was full lead, right?
Yes.
And then he went on to invent Freon.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I was watching this video about him, and it just said, the narrator, he just goes, it's believed that Thomas Midgley has had a more damaging effect on the atmosphere than any single organism to ever live. Now, look, I'm not saying I want to be remembered for that, but what a great blurb.
That's funny.
More damage to the atmosphere than any single organism to ever live. You know what, though? It got me thinking about Freon, and it got me thinking about propane.
Mm-hmm.
Because they use propane. There's heat pumps now where they're using propane instead of Freon for the charge because they can ship them pre-charged or something.
Right.
Or you just hook it up to a propane tank. I don't know what they do. But it has something to do with Freon being such a pain in the butt to deal with. So what do you think of using propane in place of Freon as a refrigerant? Because out of the gate, I'll say I don't like gas. I don't like natural gas. I don't like propane because there's no real gray area when there's a problem. Most of the time. And I know someone's going to chime in, gas is perfectly safe if it's done right. I know that. But I don't like, I'm very, very belt suspenders and overalls about things. I don't like explosions.
Yeah. I think generally gas systems are very safe. That being said, the use of propane as a refrigerant, I think, is a great idea. As one who has a tank of 410 down in my basement and has 134A and 1234YF in my shop, representing a big investment, propane is a godsend, I think. I don't think the little bit of gas that is in a refrigeration appliance is that big a deal, and certainly the folks who are using propane are using the controls and things to keep it safe. So the explosion potential is very low. And I think it's fantastic. I really do.
How much gas is in one of these heat pumps that they're doing with propane? How much propane is in there? Less than a gallon or?
Oh yeah. They go by weight, and it would probably be a pound or two, I would say. I don't think it's all that much. now, just to give some perspective here, the propane you buy in the tank, what is it? $10 now for a 1 pound tank, something like that.
Yeah, it's somewhere around there.
134A, which I buy with some regularity. In a 12-ounce can is $14. The 1234YF, which is a replacement for 134A, is about $50 for a 12-ounce can. And the cars I've used, the newest, the 1234YF, and have heat pumps for heating and cooling because these are more electric. They're hybrids. These are Priuses I'm working on. The newer Priuses have heat pumps for heating and cooling the car. And the amount of refrigerant that's required is about two to three times more than just for air conditioning. So that becomes an issue. And I know there are people out there who will convert the newest ones that used the 1-2-3-4-YF back to 1-3-4-A because of the cost savings. And I'm loath to do that. I'll put in what the manufacturer put in. They designed the system. Yep. I'll be curious to see if they make this transition to propane in automobiles.
Yeah, in cars, I think it'd be a little bit different, though, because it's, you know, it's a car, isn't it? So they're a lot more prone to impact. But, I mean, 9 times out of 10, impact would just result in the propane escaping, not exploding.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a deal, but maybe it is.
It's, and even then, the heat pump portion that's got the propane in it, that's the exterior portion of the pump, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so even that's outside the house, that gallon.
Yeah.
Pound, excuse me.
Got a message here. Would a propane fireplace cause moisture buildup on my windows in my house? If it's unvented, yes. And even if it's vented, it still could be possibly some spillage. When you burn propane, you make carbon dioxide and water. And if it is an unvented fireplace, it's going to be a moisture disaster for your house. Any unvented, and this is the time of year we really haven't talked about it, and we are into the heating season with both feet now. Unvented gas appliances, whether it's natural gas or propane, are a big no-no in a state like Maine. You're going to dump a whole bunch of moisture, and it's going to work its way out into the walls and condense and cause rot over time. It's certainly going to cause condensation on your windows and doors. And it's going to cause mold and a lot of other potentially rot if you don't see it where the wood is.
Just the exhaust from having it not pump outside too.
Yeah. So if it's vented, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with a vented appliance, and gas appliances can direct vent, kind of like pellet stoves. They can just go out through the sidewall. They don't have to have a chimney. They can certainly vent into a chimney. The issue with using a chimney is the fact that
nothing else can be on that chimney.
And also you'll have the potential for moisture damage. So having a lined chimney is critical, I think, when you're using a gas appliance. A newly lined chimney, let me put it that way. We got to take a quick break, Pete. It is 9:30 straight up, and we come back, we'll chat more with Pete. That's what we'll do, by golly.
I got my paycheck today. I think I'll spend it like a crazy boy, or I'll give it all away. Something like the golden rule in my paychecking hay. But somehow I just don't seem to care ever since you went away. I left my little house so cold and bare, and I won't tell them at the bank what I'm gonna do with all my dough.
I'll just smile and tell them thanks, thanks.
Oh, it's better than they shouldn't know.
And then I'll go and have a drink
at a little place where I can sit and think.
As my baby went away
and left me here in my pain day.
It's a good thing it's a talk radio, because otherwise I'd have to play the whole song. A little bit of Molly Hatchet to get us through, Pete.
I'd say that's our company theme song.
It is. I used to have that. I had that on my answering machine way back in the day. and I at the time, I had an attorney who eventually wound up on the state Supreme Court. He called and left a message on that machine. And I was like, oh, God, you know, Tom, you're such a boob. Then I also had Grateful Dead Going to Hell in a Bucket. If you can't laugh at yourself, what good is life, right? I guess you're not going to agree with that.
I don't think there's anything to laugh at about me.
That's true. I didn't say laugh at you. I said laugh at me. So.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, I wouldn't laugh at myself.
Okay.
I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I was thinking the other day, it's got to be horrible, like, for my siblings. it's horrible for me because, like, I don't get to have a sibling like me that's so funny.
Oh.
You know, I got to go through life being the sad clown because I don't get to enjoy my funniness from somebody else because there's nobody quite there.
Okay. We'll have to poll them at the next family get-together. See how that goes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, boy.
I'm like a scene, believe me.
Yeah. Well, look, before it gets too late, because I don't want to give short shrift to this.
Want to talk about the Venza.
I do. How did you know? You were picking up the vibration through this microphone.
And I'm looking at it right out the window.
God, I love that car.
We got a red. It's not cherry red. It's that slightly more crimson red.
Yeah.
Toyota Venza. It's a 13 XLE. It is the all-wheel drive model. The last one we had was front-wheel drive. We liked it so much, we got to get the all-wheel drive, too. And the Venza, I don't know how you would describe a Venza. I wouldn't call it a station wagon, although that's probably the closest term. But I wouldn't really call it a crossover. It's not really an SUV.
It's more of a crossover SUV, I think. No?
Maybe like a SUV station wagon crossover, something kind of like that. But anyway, Venzas, if you've never driven one, you should drive a Venza because they're pretty comfortable.
Well, and that's all true, but what makes this one unique is the condition. It is fantastic and beautiful inside. Whoever had this car loved it and took really good care of it. And it shows.
Cleanliness of a car when it shows up is always a good sign about maintenance.
Yeah.
And this was one owner, too, I believe.
Yep. And
I don't know why people like that so much, but they do.
Yeah, you know,
I'm like, what if the one owner was the bad one and the second owner was the good one, you know?
That's right, yeah. I don't think that's a...
Not you know, in this case.
But. It's interesting, though, as we deal with the public, people shop for cars. And what is perceived as important to the person coming through? And I'm always...
Heated seats is a much bigger deal than apparently I ever thought it was.
Well, yeah.
Everybody with the heated seats.
Oh, my God, you know... Especially if you're getting up there in years, I don't care if it's summer or winter, putting on that heated
seat. I'll use it for my back.
Oh, yeah. It's just fantastic. I just love it.
I was using them in September for my back.
Yeah, I was using them in the summer for my back. So anyway, so that one is out, and that's a nice car. It really, really is. It's a special car.
I don't have that one up on the Facebook sale page yet. Usually I've got them up right away. This one, I'm not going to be able to put it up till Monday, but it will be up shortly. But that's a good excuse to come in and look at it.
Yeah.
Take it for a ride.
You got the inside track.
You don't have to buy it. You can just come take it for a spin.
You got the inside track as of this moment, 9:40 on Saturday morning.
Everybody listening to the show is the only ones who know about that car. Just you and everyone who's seen the car.
Okay, that works. I mean,
I was surprised nobody came in yesterday. I mean, we don't have Black Friday.
Yeah, you
anything.
Know, our Black Friday was just
comes
ruined.
In and looks around.
Our Black Friday was awful. I mean, I was cleaning stuff. I was cleaning the shop.
No, it was fine. I mean, we got stuff done, and I left early. And
yeah, yeah. How'd that work?
I was out of bread. I had to go get bread and ham.
Okay.
I never liked ham much, but I've suddenly taken a shine to lunch meat ham.
Well, that's good for you. You talk about me with sugar.
Ham.
Come on.
Ham is a very low fat meat.
Okay. All right. We're going to
protein per pound.
I just want to live long enough to see that you make it okay. That's what I want in life, to make sure that you don't have, you don't need a stent.
If I start eating excessive ham at 43, I don't think it's going to go well from here.
Well,
It's like lunch. It's lunch. I put a pickle on there.
Yeah, I have no problem. Once in a while, ham is fine. speaking of ham, no great segue here. Massimo opened at 9 o'clock, and if you're looking for a good lunch, he's right over there in Searsport on Route 1. You can't miss it. Now, the Big M.
As I understand it, he puts capers on the pizza.
On some of the pizzas have capers.
I've had capers on things before and been ho-hum about it. Until I put capers on pizza.
Yeah.
Don't ask me why, but capers on pizza is outstanding.
Well, he makes one.
I don't even know what a caper is.
It's some kind of thing you get in Italy.
A pickle or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little thing. It's a plant type thing. But he has one pizza called Puttanesca, which is capers and olives. And a little bit of just a little bit of pepper, and that's a go-to. If you haven't had it, you have to have it to try it because it's that good. But there's also, and I've had the occasion to have some of his pre-packaged Italian things like lasagna and stuff. Oh boy, let me tell you. And occasionally he'll do a night out, if you will, where you go to his place there and he has sort of an intimate setting, maybe, I don't know, half dozen, eight couples, and he prepares the food for you in front of you, and you sit there and drink a lot of wine and eat a lot. Because that's what Italian people do. They eat a lot, and that's a good thing.
You're over here eating pasta and bread and giving me trouble about ham.
Yeah. Well, I don't think many people get heart attacks from pasta and bread.
Ah, no, bread sticks in you. Bread it sticks in your veins.
The word from Dr. Pete.
I don't need to go to the doctor to find out how the world works.
Okay.
I've been around.
Okay. Capers. Somebody's saying capers are berries from a juniper tree.
Now you're just making stuff up. Juniper trees aren't real. We can't get the juniper. It's way out in the solar system.
Okay.
Saturn, Juniper, Neptune.
Okay, I got an interesting one here. Hi, Tom. Way down East Maine, rural carrier for USPS. Talked to me about week-long delays as a result of processing plants unable to do the work on time. Case of it's not broken. If it's not broken, fix it till it is. Top-heavy quasi-government bureaucracy, prime for privatization, lots of games played there. Charlie, the retired mail handler. I don't disagree. I think you're right on track, Charlie. So, and my stepfather was a postal clerk for many years. And he encouraged me to go to work for the Postal Service. I said, "Oh, I'm going to be a forester," which I have a degree in. And when I saw the postmaster of Searsport retire when she was like 55, I thought he was right.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah.
It was.
Hey, speaking of forestry,
yeah.
Do you think it's too late for me to be a lumberjack?
Never too late for you to. Well, you know.
I was watching this video compilation just of, like, lumberjacks cutting down big trees, and I've really, really taken a shine to cutting down trees.
Okay, I noticed that.
I don't really want to deal with them after, but, like, cutting them down, that's something.
But, you know, Pete, the deal, like, when I used to work in the woods, excuse me, we had a chainsaw, and you're out there marching around cutting down trees. That is really becoming mechanized. So you're now sitting in an air-conditioned cab, and you're bringing the machine up to the tree, cutting it off, stripping off the limbs, and piling it in a stack. You're not out marching around.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, you're not out marching around the swamp, which I did a lot. That was fun. I had a really good case of athlete's foot for a long time.
It's so satisfying to take where there was trees and make no trees there. I don't know, and I'm not a big, let's industrialize everything guy, but There's just something satisfying about it. I don't know. It just must be a human nature thing about
destroying things. Nature. You just like destroying things.
Clear cutting is just very attractive to me. That'll be my next election. They vote for Pete Gosey. Clear cutting is very attractive to me.
When I was studying forestry, my silviculture professor being the nurturing of trees, if you will, had studied under a German forester, what we call forestry in the U.S. originated in Europe, much older, much more intensive use of the forest there than over here. But they would, just to get the guy upset, this German guy, they'd say, what's the best silviculture practice here? And they would say, clear cut and plant corn. And he would get all wound up, because he's an old-time forester. But we've got a question here for Pete.
Okay.
How about Pete work with Angus King and require tire inflation machines at all gas stations? You get on with that. Angus, on that.
Well, it just, I can think of a couple other directions I'd want to go with that money, because I think everybody should have a compressor in their car.
Well, that's what I said earlier.
They're not expensive, but I understand what you're saying. It's not, you want to be able to just pull up, plug in, especially if it's the middle of winter. A lot of those compressors can be a little bit fastidious to put on.
I'm loath to use them because of the cost, but I want them to work. When you need it, you need it. If you're getting
What I mean is the ones at the gas stations tend to be faster than the ones you carry around in the car.
Certainly.
Yeah, I get that. In the winter, it'd be easier just to do that. But no, I understand. That's frustrating when you need air in a tire. If you don't have a compressor and you can't find one that's working or set up.
Yeah.
I can make that. You know what? I can make that happen for you.
Okay.
Angus, if you're listening, I'm ready to spearhead this project.
Well, this is how you slide into the political arena by getting something
we'll
squared away.
I'll Elon Musk it for him. I'll find some money. We'll fire some people, and then we'll use that money to put in the air compressors in my state-run hospitals.
Yeah.
So we can get rid of insurance.
Oh, speaking
of outlaw financing on all levels.
Okay. Speaking of firing people, nobody to get fired here. I want to tip my hat, and I'm sure you will too, to Gordon Contracting, who finished this week, I think, in Searsport on Route 1.
Was actually a very impressive run they did there. I mean, the detour was a pain, but I understand that it was necessary to get it done as quickly as they did.
For all the whining and complaining, and I complained about the detour just because
it wasn't that long.
It wasn't that long either. But now you drive down Route 1, you pick it up at Anglers, and you lose it on the other side of town, but not just a little before the campground.
No potholes.
That is like driving on butter. I mean, it's just fantastic, and it looks good. And was it, I think it was Tuesday night, we were going to supermarket, and we drove through downtown Searsport just when all the streetlights came on. And I've been through with the lights on, but seeing the lights come on is just a nice touch. It just cool as hell to see that and having it done. And Searsport, I think, is becoming a bit of a destination.
How is Edwards, by the way?
Oh,
I haven't been there yet.
God, you haven't been in Edwards?
I still haven't gone. I've driven past it twice. I keep forgetting.
You
got to
go
there.
In. You got to go in.
Because Tozer's closed, and then you just whiz on by to Belfast.
Yep, it's worth the trip.
I'll go today after work.
It's a really nice store. Everybody who works there, very pleasant. Some folks from Tozer's are there, and other folks and new folks coming in. Edwards did a fantastic job of setting up the store and redoing it, and it looks good. Here's one thing they did that, if you've been in that store when it was Tozer's and now it's Edwards, you walk in there, take note of the space in between the shelves. The aisles are wider.
Oh, good.
Oh, my God.
If I'm in Hannaford and I see somebody like occupying a whole aisle or doing that thing where they got the cart and then them and then they're looking at something, I'll go down that aisle even if I don't need anything to bring them back to reality, to make them realize you got to get in your lane.
Yeah. Yeah. There's lanes in these aisles.
Move.
But they're wider now. which is fantastic.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean you have a confab. We're in the middle of the aisle about finding out how Aunt Bertha was back at Thanksgiving. Did she get drunk or not? No, no, you do that.
She did.
Aunt Bertha can't
hold
it.
We all know how she goes.
Yeah, she could be rough. Anyway, it is worth the trip. I mean, even if you don't live in the area, swing in some time and just check it out. They
for
really.
Sure. If you're looking for something to do today, come check out Searsport Streetlights and their grocery store.
And then stop
what
the CP. Pete will be there till 3.
And come look at the Venza.
That's right. That is.
Now you got an afternoon lined up.
Oh man, I tell you what. You know, it's good that we help people plan their weekends. That's what it is. That's what it is. So how was the plowing yesterday? Pete did the official first plowing of the paved driveway.
It was good. I went slow because I wanted to, you know, get a feel for it. I don't want to be dropping the plow like a meat cleaver on the pavement, but it went well. Everything's clear now. It's going to be lovely, I think. It's going to be quite lovely. We weren't exactly prepared for the storm. Usually we'll move all the cars out of the way so then we can just plow and put them back, but this one just sort of snuck up, and it wasn't a lot.
I thought it was going to snow today. I didn't think it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's supposed to snow next week, though.
That's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah, hot dog. We did. I don't know if it's a good sign or a bad sign. We had the snow plow on the truck in about 3 minutes, if that. I don't even know if it was 3 minutes.
Well, you know why? Because that plow came on the truck, so it was mounted by somebody else initially.
That's true. I didn't do it.
So it wasn't this hodgepodge. Or we sent it to 3 different shops, and everybody welded things and wailed on it with hammers. And
Well, yeah, with a big enough hammer, though, I mean, you can accomplish a lot. So
I like hammers. Hammers are good tools.
Yeah, yeah.
They just do what they're supposed to. You generally just buy it one time, maybe twice.
Yep.
A buddy of mine in Florida said he was taking his kids to the Tampa Zoo today. He said, it's going to be cold. I said, what's cold? He's like 69 degrees. I'm like, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't get it. But, you know, that's okay. In the summertime, they're miserable. They should be miserable. I mean, if we were down there in the summertime, we'd probably die.
Well, he had trees on his house after the last hurricane, so.
Oh, yeah.
It balances out.
Yeah, yeah. And they get a lot of flooded cars.
Yeah.
We don't get near as many flooded cars up here. That's a good thing.
Although someone did try to sell us a flooded car once.
Really?
It had been in a lake to its roof.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
To buy it. Like, you could fix it. I'm like, we can't fix it. Every component of it, except for the doors, needs to be replaced.
I felt terrible telling them that, but they were
adamant.
They just didn't get it. I said, no, you know, if it was a gas car in the lake.
No, even then, everything's fried. Everything's toasted. You can't,
well, no,
you
it
can't
was,
bring it back.
It was better,
no,
though.
You can't.
The engine was running when it rolled into the lake. So
I kept it going, kept it dry.
Yeah, it keeps the water out. It didn't. Let's see. Okay, so here, okay, I'm going to read this just because I'm being even-handed. I don't believe it, but it's okay. Sorry, Tom, bread and pasta is the leading cause of heart attacks. Read Real Food on Trial by Tim Noakes. He's not sure about the spelling. I will look that up. I think it's a function of degree or matter of degree, how much.
Well, you do eat a lot of sugar, too, so that should balance it out.
I think so.
It pumping out of your system very quickly.
Yeah. I got time for this. We have Ford C-Max 2016. Just had snow tires put on without asking them. They put nitrogen in my tires instead of air. I don't ever use nitrogen. I always keep it up with air. What is going is that going to be an issue if I add air to it? No, because air is 70% nitrogen or something like that. It's just a way to
top it off with regular air.
Yeah, it ideally you don't have to ever top it off, but realistically you do. It's not a big deal. It's just a way they get to charge you a little bit of money, extra money for nitrogen. Yep. So,
well, the idea is the nitrogen's heavier, so it doesn't escape. You know, however, your tires will lose air over time. It doesn't lose air as quickly as regular air.
Yeah.
I don't think it's enough to really matter, but
I don't buy that, but that's okay. I don't have to buy it. I have had tires with nitrogen. I can't tell you anything's been different in my life. I still have to get up in the morning and go to work and all the rest of it. So, speaking of which, we're out of time, Pete.
Well, hot dog.
Yeah, that didn't take long.
We killed another one.
We killed another one right there. Pete, thank you. We'll see you in a little while. Pete's going to be there till 3 today. If you want to have his personal guest appearance with Pete. They're coming to see you, Pete.
I'm a captive audience.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Pete. We'll see you later. Everybody, have a great week. Be careful out there. It is still kind of cold and icy.
One little miracle a day is all I need. T. Rubble's more or less be or the me, I guess, when the sun doesn't shine. But there's that pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple.